Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Oregon. Today is Thursday, August 9th, 2018. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the big book. We are in the chapter Working with Others and we are on page 93. Reading and commenting on two paragraphs today, starting with paragraph one, when dealing with such a person, and then ending at the top of page 94 with the second paragraph, common to most denominations. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Cindy D, the 12 traditions, Jennifer C, and reading the text today, Kathy Jo P and Elaine T. Thank you so much. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11767. That's 11,767. That would be for Wednesday, August 8th. And then the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting this morning, Thursday, August 9th, is 11768. 11,768. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Cindy D. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Melanie. Can I be heard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Cindy D. I will now ask Jennifer C. to please read the 12 traditions. Star 1 to unmute.
Okay, there I am. Sorry. All right, the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Melanie, for your service, and I pass.
Thank you for yours. That was Jennifer C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone could share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 93 in the chapter Working with Others. And we're going to comment on two paragraphs, paragraph 1 and paragraph 2, beginning with when dealing with such a person, and then concludes on page 94 with common to most denominations. And I will ask Kathy Jo P. to open up this discussion today by reading and commenting on those two paragraphs. Good morning, Kathy Jo.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. When dealing with such a person, you had better use everyday language to describe spiritual principles. There is no use arousing any prejudice he may have against certain theological terms and conceptions about which he may already be confused. Don't raise such issues, no matter what your own convictions are. Your prospect may belong to a religious denomination. His religious education and training may be far superior to yours. In that case, he is going to wonder how you can add anything to what he already knows. But he will be curious to learn why his own convictions have not worked and why yours seem to work so well. He may be an example of the truth that faith alone is insufficient. To be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish, constructive action. Let him see that you are not there to instruct him in religion. Admit that he probably knows more about it than you do. But call to his attention the fact that however deep his faith and knowledge, he could not have applied it or he would not drink. Perhaps your story will help him see where he has failed to practice the very precepts he knows so well. We represent no particular faith or denomination. We are only dealing with general principles common to most denominations. Well, I feel very humbled to be talking about this today. And I think one of the reasons is because I still don't have this God thing figured out. I feel God. I feel close to God. I feel the power of God working for me. But can I describe exactly who God is to you? I cannot. I came into OA in the 80s with a theology degree and a pastoral ministry certificate, and I had God all figured out. But I really believe I did not rely on that power to help me get free. And I do know that if I don't have access to that power, I'm going to get back into the food. And I do know that my ego and my character defects keep me blocked from that power. I have read a couple books that have been helpful to me in my journey, and one of the books I read is called A New Pair of Glasses by Chuck C. And in there, he talks about, if you all were here right now looking out at my window in my garden, we're all going to see my garden differently. One of you might notice a certain herb growing, another might notice a bird, another might notice my trees. And that's how God is. We don't all see the same thing, and it changes for us. There's someone I know in another 12-step program that calls God the great big happy. And my favorite line in the big book, and I love saying it over and over again, is draw near to God and he will reveal himself to you. It does not say he will reveal himself to you and then you draw near to him. So constantly I am trying to draw near to my God, whoever God is for me today. I recently heard someone in the morning, and maybe it's been said many times on the line, but I never heard it. Where am I agnostic today? And later that day, I was disturbed about my son. And I called someone, and I truly said at the beginning of my 10th step, I really don't believe this is going to work, because I was really blocked. By the time I finished up my 10th step and I was ready to make amends to my son, he called me in his room and he gave me the biggest hug ever. I have had many situations like that where I did the work. I'll have 5 days where I'm not speaking hardly to my husband and I'm trying so hard to figure out what's going on and get unblocked. The day I finally do the work that I'm supposed to do, he comes in the back door whistling, "Honey, I'm home." And it's like, is there a God? I think so. I constantly see things like that happening for me. So in here, it also talks about those common spiritual principles. I was looking at something this morning that was talking about self-pity. And I'm going to tell you that self-pity does not fit in to our principles and feeling sorry for ourselves and wanting, you know, everyone to feel sorry for ourselves. What I feel is gratitude, and what I try to do every single day and what helps me get out of myself and closer to God is service. That is the biggest, and that's what we're talking about in this chapter, the biggest principle in every religion, every spiritual belief, every practice. It's about service and helping others. And then we can have the freedom that's talked about in the big book so that we can be free from the food and free from the bondage of self. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. Now the lines are open to comment on those two paragraphs, page 93, paragraph 1, when dealing with such a person, through the second paragraph ending on page 94, common to most denominations. Who would like to comment on those two paragraphs this morning?
Wendy M.
Sonny S.
Hi, Wendy. Sonny S. Anyone else?
Hello.
Hi.
Shawnee B.
Hello. Hello.
Shawnee B. And I got a Sonny B. Sonny S. Right. Shawnee B. I hear a hello.
Yeah,
hello.
Shawnee B.
Who's saying hello? Hello. Or maybe you'll come back on. I have Wendy M, Sonny S, Barbara S, I think, and then Shawnee B.
Terry.
Anybody else? Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Okay, let's go with that lineup and we'll get some more later. Wendy M, Sonny S, Barbara S, Shawnee B, and Terry H. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Mel. Thanks so much for your service. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah, great. So Wendy M., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. What a great day to be alive and to be on the line. So the first thing I ask myself is what's it like to be them? What's it like to be the prospect, the sponsee, whoever? It's even, this can be applied for like all of my relations. What's it like to be my son? What's it like to be, right? Because where I originally go is what's it like to be me, right? And then I go to, it says use everyday language. And so I spent a lifetime trying to show off and impress and complicate things and sound smart, right? So I was all about how am I coming across rather than what's it like to be them. So the what's it like to be them is in God's world, and how am I coming across would be in Wendy's world. So it says here use everyday language. I love that. I heard that actually at the convention back in September. One of the speakers said, you must not complicate this, and you must think about how they're receiving this. So keep it super simple, you know. And the other thing, I when I get nervous, I want to sound smart and I want to sound recovered. Sometimes when I'm sharing on the line right now, I want to sound super recovered. And that's just because I go into fear, right, and self-will. So if I'm thinking about how can I be of service, how can I be helpful, I get out of self and I get into other, right? And again, this is not a figure it out program, and I don't need to explain it all to the sponsee. I can keep it simple, keep it in everyday language, and use terms that make sense to them. And then it says this is a program of action. It's vital that we understand that, right? So the focus is on action, which is going to get me out of my head, which is where the disease lies. And it gets also, action always gets me out of fear, worry, regret, control, and my own thinking. What matters is what I do, not what I think. Right. And so my sponsor, the minute she grabbed me up, the thing she said to me was, you're going to just take direction and you're just going to do what I do if you want to get what I've got. And if you want to be free, how free do you want to be? Take all the action in the world. Every time I take an action, I get unblocked. And every time I get unblocked, I get directly to God every single time. And the magic is in the action. And I get relieved of being in self, in Wendy. So if I'm having a rough ride, it's who can I call right now? Who can I reach out to? The newcomer. I take newcomers' names from the meetings I go to face, and I call them. I have to be in action. This is a program of action. And that really is like the difference to me between recovery and not being in recovery. And that's my time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Wendy. Sonny S., you're next, and then Barbara S. will follow you.
Hi, this is Sonny S., Randy Hurst.
Yes.
Awesome. So I'm also in Boulder, Colorado. Hi, Wendy. And my name is spelled S-A-N-N-E. Thank you for the opportunity to share. I know that for me, when I started working this program and the miracle started happening, I started to run out of words to describe the freedom that I was experiencing. And I kept hearing that as a newcomer in the lines and thinking, you know, I just couldn't relate. I couldn't understand how a person who had the same thing I did was talking in such a language. And it just made it sort of hard to make it relatable. And so when I talk to newcomers, I guess the first thing I share is how my experience was as a newcomer. You know, hearing all these amazing voices in the lines and talking about these miracles and freedom and flying and all of these things, and how intimidating that was for me, and how, I mean, I sometimes thought the lines are full of crap. That's really what I thought. And yet, you know, working this program, sticking to it, I started to use that language myself. And so it was just a matter of really sharing my experience and, you know, even if it was in the past, sort of relating to newcomers. At the same time, I know that I know so well at the moment how much this the program of action and how easy it is to fall back into where I was. You know, it's like I call it being cloudy. It's like if I don't work this program, say I'm on vacation for 3 days, I just can't do that because the clouds start appearing, you know, and suddenly life starts becoming in very little ways imaginable again. And so how much of this program is a daily action? Like, I wake up with my addict and I go to sleep with my addict and I have to work with it. And that's, I guess, maybe the difference that was for me between, you know, the spiritual life that I thought I had and the spiritual beginning that I started with this program. And honestly, I really wouldn't trade it for anything in the world because, yeah, I do feel like lying. So, yeah, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Shawnee B. Barbara S., you're next, and then Shawnee B. will follow you. Barbara S., were you prepared to share? I might have had that wrong. Then let's go with Shawnee B. Good morning, Shawnee B., star one.
Hi, this is Shawnee B., recovered compulsive eater in Florida. This is actually my first time on the line in this meeting, so thank you for your service. So there was just a couple of things I was, you know, thinking about, but one specific thing that I wanted to share. So when I, you know, I'm pretty new to the program, but when I began sponsoring, I had understood what kind of going on with the about that. I always heard serenity and peace, and I was just like, again, on the lines, I was like, what is this? You know, what is this? And it kind of sounded, sometimes I feel like it's something like so out there, almost like, you know, you're flying in the clouds. But when I am now, you know, sponsoring girls, and I'll tell them, you know, it's that it's my entire life I have been motivated by fear in everything, fear in waking up, fear in showering, fear. There's always this like motive of fear that's pushing me. And I have felt something that I've never felt in my life. And to be honest, I am recovered, but I don't have it all the time. And when I do feel it, I say, wow, this is the greatest gift. And it's this peace. It's this inner peace of waking up in the morning and feeling grateful for being alive, feeling grateful for being having hands, feet, simple blessings. And that's the flying high for me. And that's what I try to impart onto my sponsees, is this peace that you just can't buy it and you can't pay for it. And it's truly through working the steps, you know, and living in 10, 11, and 12, living in, you know, like in our solution. And so I know that we all share like our wording differently, but it's almost like the peace is so still that it's really like, it's not, you know, bells and whistles. It's so serene and so surreal. And so like the serenity prayer, I think to myself, it's like, there's nothing that really encompasses this program greater than the serenity prayer. And thank you for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Shawnee B.
Hello, this is Barbara S.
Hi, Barbara S. Did you want to share?
I didn't believe my name, but I thought it was...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, did I cut you off? Something happened, I think, with our line there, Barbara.
Hello, are you able to hear me?
I am. It's kind of intermittent. It's cutting in and out. So.
Okay. I'm on a bus, so I'd like to just claim my seat because I might go in and out. I'm calling
okay.
for a bus, but I'm thankful that this meeting is here and for program.
Thank you. Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to lend this now to Terry H. to share, just to let you folks know. I'll open it up for more shares after Terry's finished. We're on page 93. Chapter Working with Others, paragraph 1 and paragraph 2, and commenting on both of those paragraphs. And it begins with when dealing with such a person. Good morning, Terry H.
Good morning. My name is Terry H., a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic bulimic in North Carolina. I'm very grateful today. Beautiful day after a major storm last night. when I'm working with new people and just in life in general, in my everyday job, I try to keep it simple. I try to be real. I try to be authentic. And, you know, it can be overwhelming. It's like learning a new language in life. You know, sometimes I come across clients in my job that speak a different language. And so I try to think about, you know, what is that like for a newcomer coming in? And what was it like for me? It was like learning a whole new language, a whole new thing, way of life. And so when I was younger and playing sports, one of my coaches, I had a hard time making a bounce pass. I played basketball and I couldn't do a bounce pass and I was struggling. And so he wrote on the whiteboard, K-I-S-S. And I was like, what? Kiss? What is that? And he said, keep it simple, stupid. And he wasn't calling me stupid, but he just wanted to remind me that, you know, try to keep it simple. One thing at a time, one day at a time. And I, you know, really held on to that, you know, throughout the rest of my life. When I try to make things so complicated, and, you know, I try to just get back to the basics and keep it simple. My life is really, really complicated right now. And, you know, I'm very grateful for my recovery and just getting back to the basics and keeping it simple and just one day at a time. And that's all we can, you know, do. We can lead by example and, you know, just keep working our program to the best we can. You know, I do not presume to be the end all of a higher power. And, you know, I definitely need my higher power and his guidance and his teachings every day of my life. You know, I seek that. I want to be of maximum service. And I'm not perfect. I fall many, many times. But today I can get up and I can keep going and hold my head up high and be my authentic, true, real self and own up to my mistakes. And in my disease, I wasn't able to do that. I just kept eating and eating and purging and binging and restricting. And, you know, I'm so grateful I don't have to do that today. And, you know, working with others is very important to my recovery in my life. And I'm just really grateful for that opportunity. And thanks for letting me share. It's good to be on the line. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Terry H. And I just want to say again, we're on paragraph 1 and 2, page 93. When dealing with such a person, speaking about describing spiritual principles as opposed to religious doctrine, who would like to comment on those two paragraphs, please?
Jennifer C.
Hi, Jennifer C.
Sally A. in New York.
Sally A.
Hello.
Anyone else? Let's go straight to Jennifer C. and then Sally A. you'll come after her. Hey, Jennifer. Oh, Sherry, you're going to sneak in there. Okay, gotcha. Hi, Jennifer. It's your turn.
Hi, Melanie. Can I be heard?
You can.
Great. This is Jennifer C., recovering compulsive overeater in Seville, Ohio. And when I was hearing these paragraphs and reading them, I realized when I came into program, I tend to compartmentalize everything. Like I kept my religious views in this box. I kept my emotional views in this box. I kept this, you know, everything was separate. And when I look at this program, the physical, emotional, and spiritual, I can't do that. And I felt I was trying to do that, plug it all into each little space. And I realized that it all intertwines and how we have to just make sure that we are living that spiritual life and through our examples. And like we said, it's an action program. And I heard in the earlier meeting, somebody said it and it made so much sense to me where they said that first line about everyday language to describe spiritual principles, she put it in relation to she loved her everyday clothes. They're comfortable, they're familiar, they're easy to wear, but yet she has special occasion clothes, which those might be your spirit, like not necessarily spiritual, but like you would wear those for special occasions. So when you have that newcomer, you're not going to go and throw on your sequins dress and start flashing spirituality. You want to be that spiritual person in your yoga pants and sweatshirt and be comfortable and just kind of demonstrate your program through your everyday language. And that way it becomes real to them. And I just felt like I needed to share that, and I will pass.
Thank you very much, Jennifer C. Sally A., you're next. You want to press star one, and then Sherry KB will come after you.
Good morning, Melanie. Sorry for the delay there. It's Sally A. in New York. I'm so happy to be on the road to recovery and an abstinent today, just for today. I wanted to speak to these few sentences. Let him see that you are not there to instruct him in religion. And God knows in the past I had no humility about the subject because I was, quote, born again when I was 18. And by my age, in my late 50s, I kind of act like I'm there, you know, I've got this. And really what has this next sentence just really speaks to me this morning. Admit that he probably knows more about it than you do, but call to his attention the fact that however deep his faith and knowledge, he could not have applied it. And there's that action that was spoken of earlier by someone very profoundly, that we have to take action on the faith that we walk in. He could not have applied it, or he would not, in our case, eat. And, you know, I read in my devotional this morning about how God gives us common sense, but we have an opportunity to have a far superior sense. We have an opportunity to walk on a spiritual ground with God. And to me today, it's not about denomination and it's not about knowledge of the Bible or knowledge of any of it. It's all about connecting. I find that when I disconnect, and often that would happen if I'm watching TV, I'm very sensitive about that television. When I disconnect, I start to white-knuckle it. I start struggling. And I can either turn it off and strengthen my connection, or I can keep on white-knuckling it, which sometimes I do. It's a very dangerous ground to walk on. But as I go through my days, one day at a time, because that's all my God, who I call the God I am, not I was, not I will be, the God I am that I am. As I stay present in today, my goal for today is to be and stay connected. That's what this all means to me, to allow God to be not just my Lord, to let him be my leader, to allow him to go before me. When I have 5 minutes or 10 minutes of spare time, I ask him, this is my goal for the day, to become more and more sensitive, to ask, what should I do with this 10 minutes that I have to spare? I don't always do it. That's just the goal that I have, to remain connected and not take any of my time, which is my most precious gift, for granted. Thanks for letting me share that, Mel. Have a good day, everyone.
Thanks, Sally A. Sherry KB, you're next, and then we'll open it up for a few more. Sherry KB.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, and thank you so much for your service, Melanie. Everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. Okay, so the first part, the first paragraph, it talks about don't raise such issues no matter what your convictions are. You know, for me, it's all about identifying in with the person I'm working with the prospect. So it doesn't matter what religious backgrounds I have, because this is a spiritual program. I look at spiritual principles. Because that's my aim, and my aim, honestly, is to help them get unblocked to connect with their higher power, their understanding, the language of their own heart, not of mine, because it talks about we must carry this message, not my beliefs, but the message in this book. And so, to me, I always look about identifying in with my person that I'm working with. It's very important to me. So I don't, unless they bring up religion, I do not, because to me this is a spiritual program. So, and I tell them it is the language of their own heart to find that higher power of their understanding to help them to get through this work and to help them to get unblocked, putting the food down, getting unblocked, so they connect with their higher power, their understanding. Also, we could turn this around in a different way and look at some people come in who are double winners, who come in who say, you know, I know this book. How are you going to help me any differently than when I went through my other program? And I would ask them, I said, well, did you try using, you know, this program, you know, around your food issue in your other program? And so just because they have more knowledge than me, as it was said a week or so ago, that anybody could take you through this book because the directions are already here. So when somebody, you know, says, well, I know a lot and all that stuff, and I'm like, can you stay teachable? Are you willing to be open and stay teachable and set aside your ideas? And the precepts it's talking about is, you know, the rules of behavior around, you know, not only putting down the food, but being open to listen to another person to take you through this work. When I was working with somebody myself, I knew more than they did, but I knew I needed to stay teachable, otherwise, because my whatever I did, you know, was not working before. So that's kind of where I come with it. And just that we're only dealing with general principles anyhow, and I do encourage people who have a faith that is shaky, I suggest certain things. And I know that, you know, I learned from an AA speaker a long time ago that man created religion and God created spirituality. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. It's open now for a few other folks to comment on those two paragraphs, page 93, paragraph 1 and paragraph 2. Who would like to comment?
Alana M.
Hi, Alana.
Hi, Melanie.
We're speaking about describing spiritual principles next to theology or religious doctrine. Those two paragraphs. Who would like
Julie
to comment?
Julie P.
Yep. Hey, Julie P.
Hi.
I got, gotcha. Yeah, thank you. Have room for two more, I bet.
Eileen F.
Hi,
Stephanie L.
And Stephanie F. That'll take us. So I have Alana, Julie, Eileen, and Stephanie. Hi, Alana, again. Your turn.
Hi, thanks, Melanie. Alana, compulsive overeater from Ottawa, Canada. I have to just add that what I love about this program and the reason I've even been able to work it is because it's general principles. I grew up in the church, but when I can remember even as a kid wanting to ask questions, like during the homily part, you know, wanting to, what do you mean by, you know, I just always wanted to, and in these rooms is the first place I've been able to talk about something spiritual and ask questions and even be angry and have people not bristle or you know, people be open, you know, to tell me that, well, this is how I worked it, and this is, and there's something magical for me about hearing people talk about how they worked it and not telling me how I need to work it. How it just kept drawing me closer to them, you know, and it's just the magic of this program that it doesn't matter how many people follow one particular religion or whatever, it doesn't come into the room, you know, it there's this openness. And I think that's what always drew me towards 12-step recovery is that I could be myself within a group of very diverse people and be as accepted and as okay. I'm very grateful that it's general principles. And people here taught me how to find a higher power because I had none. I was so angry. I was, you know, convinced that whatever spiritual help was out there had it out for me. And I just wasn't, I couldn't believe what these people believe. So if they hadn't been as open as they are here, and even deeply religious people are just so, listen, what would work for you? What can we offer? You know, how can I help? And those are the kinds of things that draw me closer. And that. So thanks very much, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Alana. That's Alana M. Julie P., you're next, and then Eileen will come after you.
Hi, this is Julie P. I just wanted to, I just got back from vacation for 8 days with some people that aren't in recovery, and I normally hang out with people in recovery, And so it was very difficult. I'm trying to look at, you know, my what's going on with me in this situation, where I am so, everything's going to be okay, no matter what it is. If we lose our luggage or, you know, I connect with my higher power on a daily basis. And, but when these negative floods start coming in, I start getting these resentments, and then and everybody keeps talking about, you know, these things blocking you from your higher power. And it's like, I totally get that keeping that connection is so important. And for me, sometimes I just need to be quiet and just not say anything and let them talk. So working with others, with me right now, I'm still sick. I'm out of the food at this moment for about 3 weeks. You know, I'm still trying to figure this whole thing out as far as how my higher power is going to help me with the food. You know, there's a little part of me that's like, well, that's not that big of a deal. You know, so I don't know. I kind of minimize it. But anyway, I love being back home and listening to the meeting, getting back in my routine. You know, we talked a while ago about being undisciplined. And when I get off my routine, it's not a good thing. So anyway, thank you very much for being on the line today and just opening my eyes and letting me remember, you know, God. And that connection, I need that connection. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Julie P. Eileen S., you're next, and then Stephanie F. will take us through the conclusion of the recorded portion. Good morning, Eileen.
Excuse me. Good morning, everybody. This is Eileen S. in Portland, Oregon. Thank you very much, Melanie, for your service. And everybody on the line, I'm getting so much out of this meeting this morning, as I do every morning. Yeah, I want to say this is my favorite paragraph till I get to the next paragraph, and then that's my favorite paragraph. You know, before I came in and stuck in OA, I came into some meetings and I heard the word God, and I was like, I'm out of here. I'm not interested in that. And I had to go out and do a whole bunch more eating and be a whole bunch more miserable till I finally came full circle, because that's what I was looking for. I just didn't know it. I'm just very grateful to have a higher power in my life today that I call God. I love how when it says here, to be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. So I have to do those things in order for it to be alive and vital. So I have to continue to do these things every day. And I had an experience last night with a relatively new sponsee. And when I got off the phone, I felt so happy. And it's just the idea of being of service and seeing somebody come alive and seeing somebody start to get it is just such a precious experience. And you know, that's not my normal place, because I'm a selfish compulsive overeater and I just want to be thinking about and talking about me. So it's just profound to me. And I love how it says we represent no particular faith or denomination. I am not Christian, and I could use that as a reason not to participate here, because there's an origin of that, and there can be that in here. And I hear a lot of people talk about that, and it's slightly off-putting to me, because this is not about religion. This is spirituality. I was not born into, I was born into a different religion. And though I do not practice it, because my spirituality is the 12 steps. The 12 steps is what gave me a faith and a spirituality and a relationship with God that I never had before. So my God is totally non-denominational, and I so appreciate that the Big Book repeats that over and over, that we are not a particular faith or denomination. We are the 12 steps, and that's I just think that's very profound and precious to me. So thanks for letting me share, everybody. Hope you all have a great day.
Thank you, Eileen S. Stephanie F., you're next. And dependent on her time, you might have room for one more. Stephanie F.,
can I be heard?
You can now.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
My name's Stephanie F. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from Westminster, Colorado. I really appreciate the shares I heard this morning. I also am a double winner, and so I want to share perspectives, I guess, from that point of view. I got a lot out of this book in another program, and what I'm learning through A Vision for You and working with a sponsor in this particular program has completely changed my understanding of what's available in the big book. And regarding these couple of paragraphs, one of the things that I've done in the past when working with women is to check in with them on the way in which we discuss whatever their higher power is. Do they have a preference? Are they okay when we're meeting together if we refer to it as God, or do they call it something else? And then I do my very best to honor that when working with them individually. And the other thing that I think is really helpful is this book has a lot of very uncommon language today. So as we read together, there's a lot of words that I didn't know. So I have written in my book the definition of those words. So when I'm reading, I share those definitions with the women I'm working with, and I also ask them to do the same. So that when they're working with other women, they are able to pass along the message in a way that's understandable, because I had no idea what a whoopee party was or what boiled as an owl meant. And even some more more common words, I wasn't really clear on what those meant. So I find that to be really helpful. I also think that there is not much more that I can share than my own experience, strength, and hope. So I talk about what my experience was like finding my higher power, but I really avoid sharing what it is that I believe, because I don't want to influence the decisions and the path that they might need to take. And with that, I'll pass.
I'm sorry for that background noise, Stephanie. That came from here. I hope that you didn't think that was the end of your time.
No, that's okay. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Sorry about that noise. There is time, though, for one more three-minute share, it looks like.
Doug? Doug S.
Hi, Marcia. We'll take it. Thanks. Good morning to you. Doug S. this morning.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your service. I hope I can be heard okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Wow. I'm just so very, very grateful. This is my first time to actually be on the line to talk. I have enjoyed so much listening. The recovery is profound. The gift of this program is profound. To be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice and unselfish constructive action. I've been working a 12-step program to help me with this disease to overcome and recover for a number of years, but I'm recently finding this way. And I just want to say that I'm very, very grateful, and that the plain truths that come through all of the you folks that share, all of my fellows that share. Melanie, I've listened to you a lot, and it's so simple and plain and direct the way that these truths come forth from the big book. And I'm just grateful, and I want to add constructive action to my faith. I believe that I'm so grateful for my higher power, and I can't say much more than that. I'm really very inarticulate right now, which normally I'm not, because as I told my wife, I often say there's only one thing I like to do more than eat, and that's talk. And so I'm hoping to walk a road of 6 months of abstinence so I can participate as you do. So thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Doug S. And that does conclude the recorded portion of our sharing this morning. Please stand by because we do have some additional things we'd like to share with you at the last 10 minutes after this particular meeting is closed and the recording has stopped. And so now I would like to thank everyone that shared this morning and turn the meeting over to Elaine T., who will read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then we'll follow that with a serenity prayer if you'd like to join together.
Hi, this is Elaine T. from Pittsburgh, recovered just for today. Can I be heard?
You can.
Thanks, Melanie. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will disclose constantly more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.